Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. When the present body turns to dust and is again reduced to five elements, earth, water, fire, air, and ether, the proprietor of the body, the living being, automatically receives another body of material elements according to his fruitive activities. When the next body is obtained, he gives up the present body. Purport. This is confirmed in the Bhagavad Gita, which presents the beginning of spiritual understanding. Deinosmin yata dehe komaram yovanam jara tatati hantar praptaya dhirastatra namuyate. As the embodied soul continuously passes in this body from boyhood to youth to old age, the soul similarly passes into another body at death. The self-realized soul is not bewildered by such a change. A person or animal is not the material body. Rather, the material body is the covering of the living being. Bhagavad Gita compares the body to a dress and elaborately explains how one changes dresses one after another. The same Vedic knowledge is confirmed here. The living being, the soul, is constantly changing bodies one after another. Even in the present life, the body changes from childhood to boyhood, from boyhood to youth, and from youth to old age. Similarly, when the body is too old to continue, the living being gives up this body and by the laws of nature automatically gets another body according to its fruitive activities and desires and ambitions. The laws of nature control this sequence. And therefore, as long as the living being is under the control of the external material energy, the process of bodily change takes place automatically according to one's fruitive activities. Vasudeva therefore wanted to impress upon Kamsa that if he committed this simple act of killing a woman in his present life, he would certainly get a material body still more conditioned to the sufferings of material existence. Thus, Vasudeva advised Kamsa not to commit sinful activities. One who commits sinful activities because of ignorance, tamaguna, obtains a lower body. Karanam guna sengo siyas sad asad yoni cha masu. Bhagavad Gita 13:22. There are hundreds and thousands of different species of life. Why are there higher and lower bodies? One receives these bodies according to the contaminations of material nature. If in this life one is contaminated by the mode of ignorance and sinful activities, duskriti, in the next life by the laws of nature, one will certainly get a body full of suffering. The laws of nature are not subservient to the whimsical desires of the conditioned soul. Our endeavor, therefore, should be to associate always with sattva guna and not indulge in radha guna, Rajagun or Tamoguna. Rajas Tamoguna Bhavaha. Lusty desires and greed keep the living entity perpetually in ignorance and prevent him from being elevated to the platform of Sattvagun or Sudha Sattvagun. One is advised to be situated in Sudha Sattvagun, devotional service. For thus one is immune to the reactions of the three modes of material nature. Om Adyanatim Marandasya Jananjana Salakeya Chakshon Minitom Yena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha Vancha Kaupatrubhyascha Kripa Sindho Vyevacha Patitanam Bhavanabeyo Vaishnavabeyo Namo Namaha. Usually, the only time I sit up here is Bhagavad Gita class. So here we are. We have almost another Bhagavad Gita class. Maybe the mercy of the Lord. I don't know. But certainly, the message here is bound to and linked to these modes of material nature. I was discussing only the other day with Bhakta James here, Prabhu, and he was talking about how the modes of nature are very strong and how almost we automatically react and respond to situations or what we hear or what we see. And that somehow or other, that they call the gunas ropes. And certainly when coming into devotional life, it certainly feels like ropes. Because we see the ideal given to us. Here, they said Sudha Sattva Gun, above the mode of goodness, but the transcendental mode of goodness. It means that our activities become pure. Sudha Sattva Gun, but also Prabhupada kindly explains to us in many ways that as long as we come into this platform of devotional service, depending on our motive, that somehow or other, that even in our practice, are on this Sudha Sattva platform. But it is the motive that is the predominating factor. It's that it should be the pleasure of the Lord and His devotees. Listening to Radhanath Swami last night on the previous verse that I thought I was going to do, he talks about this relationships that we have with each other. That how can we love Krishna if we don't love the devotees? And it was a good question. And but as we go through our progressive devotional life, we don't always get along. So, how do we resolve this? The main thing that we've been given is we've been given a sort of a Vaishnava etiquette, behavior and advice by the acharyas that there's certain practices we should take up when we are living together or when we serve each other. These are safeguards. Now, somehow or other, if we don't remember these safeguards, that we'll lose our transcendental connection. They're there to bring us up to the mode of goodness. So how we behave with each other is certainly very important, but it's down to respect, actually. And this wonderful transcendental vision that actually we're all spirit souls, as Prabhupada explains here. There's so many species of living entities, and we should give them all respect. Now, recently, we notice with the ducks, I don't know if you notice our ducks now, they've somehow become accustomed to being fed. And if you don't feed them, they get annoyed. And then they start to peck at you. And actually, from being passive creatures, they are turning into quite aggressive creatures. You know, and it's something to beware of. That we too, you know, if we're not getting what we want, we turn into aggressive little creatures. You know, not doing what Krishna wants, not conforming and finding this respect. We go down to duck level. You know, so and it is, I saw it the other day, and the Mataji there experienced the same thing, that where the big duck jumped up and started going for her prasadam. It sounds funny, but it's not, because we created it. This is the problem with the human condition. They think if you feed somebody, it's a loving exchange, there's no doubt, but there's no intelligence. There's no intelligence. If we go to London, there's beggars there. We can give them money, we can give them prasadam, or we can give them a book. But if we give them money, we feed their difficulties. We feed the difficulties that they possess within themselves. In other words, they can do what they want, whimsically. It says here, it talks about whimsically behaving. And so, it's something that we have to learn to give in the mode of goodness. So what we've transformed is passive little creatures that were feeding on their natural foodstuffs into aggressive little brats, you know, and that somehow or other we spoiled them. You know, just as parents, if they're not careful, they spoil children. They give them what they want. And it's not necessarily the appropriate thing. So the whole business of our body becoming elevated or degraded depends on really is following the regulative principles, the Vaishnava etiquette, and also have this knowledge that we're spirit, that we're not this body, and that we shouldn't identify with a male, female, nation, political power, or whatever we're sort of living in this age with, that somehow the more that we entangle ourselves in the communications of this world, that somehow or other that we are definitely going to be affected. Because the spirit soul doesn't like to see suffering. But also it feels anger when it sees suffering. You know that. So what we happen to do, if we're not careful, we happen and we see this suffering, we align ourselves with somebody. You know, oh, they're going to fight to save these people. We start to align ourselves, as we do with political parties. Nation starts to align itself with another nation. But there are subtle motives in what's going on in this world. And if we don't understand that, that actually it's based on personal gratification through the body, that these nations don't realize that actually they don't have the Brahmins to guide them in their affairs, in their dealings with nation to nation, and religious principles on leading people. Getting a body, life after life, is such a amazing thing that whatever we receive today into our consciousness affects our forthcoming development of our body. So we should keep our association with those things that are in the sattva gun, that we be careful of those things that take us away from sattva-gun, that lead us into rajagun and tamagun. So when we ourselves are entangled in these gunas, what can we do about it? What can we actually do? It's a very nice verse in the Bhagavad Gita. It tells us that we should surrender. It says, and we'll be relieved of all sinful activities. Sinful activities means, or the reactions of our sinful activities. Shishi radhikul kumnanda ki jai, shishi gornitai ki jai, shishi sitaram lakshman ki jai. That actually this surrender process is an amazing thing, because it means relinquishing our own power of being able to control ourselves, that somehow or other is it prakriti kriyamana ni gunne karmani sarvasaha ahankara vimudatma kataham iti manyate. The spirit soul, bewildered by the influence of the false ego, thinks himself the doer of activities which in actual fact are done by the modes of material nature. So who controls the modes of material nature? Tell me, somebody. Sorry? Say again. The Supreme Personality of Godhead. And namely, it's the Super Soul. He's there within us. And he has this power to somehow or other change our nature. So it means that we don't pray to ourselves for ability, we pray to the super soul to somehow relieve us of these ropes that have tied us up for life after life, and that only he can do it. So what should we do then with ourselves? Meanwhile, while these ropes are being untied, what is the next formula? We can pray to Super Soul. It's a personal relationship with the Lord. We can ask for his help. But what's the other thing? Say again? Yeah, service. It's the thing that Prabhupada points out. This keeps us in the sattva gun. It's our savior. It's our shelter. You know, it's Prabhupada explains, don't take shelter of the results of your activities. Because that means that we want it, doesn't it? That we're happy or distressed if it doesn't work out for us. If I haven't done 100 books today, I'm disappointed. If I've done only one book, I'm disappointed. But actually, all those books, if we think we're the doer, then we come under the modes of material nature. It's devotional service, but it's still tinged with the modes of material nature. It's got this motive. We want the result. When actually, we should be giving our service to Krishna, not the result. So when we're going on books, when we're cooking or whatever we're doing, it's the result is there in our head that we want to please the Supreme Lord. That's the motive. But it's not in terms of the result that is obtained. That's the Lord manifesting. You know, not everybody's going to take a book because for many reasons they may not be ready. We should know that there's a higher divine providence going on when we help each other, when we serve each other. That somebody may not be pleased with how you serve them, but if you've done your best according to your ability to please them, we do things out of ignorance, that's for certain. It is, we should understand that maybe there's some fault there, and we accept it as a lesson. That Krishna's giving us a lesson, he's helping us. It's all, excuse me, it's all positive. There's no disappointments, even when in so-called failure. It says failure is the pillar of success. And that's a reality, actually. How many times do any of us, we learn by our difficulties, isn't it? That somehow that we can't rise above our difficulties unless we have difficulties. That we can't be a better person or improve our character, because Prabhupada says, he says, brahmachari life means character, strengthening character, developing the character, the strength of character. So what we're doing, whether you be in householder life, but it's still brahmachari life. It's under regulative principles. So we are bringing ourselves to the sattva gun. We have to do this. And as long as our motive is not tinged, then we won't suffer. Because we can understand that, you know, Prabhupada, you know, in India, he just made one disciple initially. It was just incredible, wasn't it? His League of Devotees, or whatever they called themselves. Amazing. They weren't interested. Somehow or other, he had to come to the West by Krishna's arrangement. So we don't know how this divine providence is working. Where it's taking us to, what it's going to do with us, unless we surrender. Until we know that actually whatever's happening now, we can't find it here or there or all these places that we want to change our picture. It says, external changes do not bring internal changes. So we can go all round the globe, this temple, that temple, but it doesn't change us inside. All it'll do is, in fact, cause us problems. Because you can't run away from Krishna. You can't run away from the modes of material nature. Whatever Krishna's giving us, we should understand as his divine providence, wherever we are. So, and somehow or other, this verse isn't the verse that I thought, you know, by some amazing mistake. So I still got to check that board when I get out and see what happened, but I can't make it out. Anyway, imperfect. I'm imperfect. I make mistakes. Unless we understand this point that somehow we have four defects, that somehow we won't progress, we'll never have humility. I'm perfect. You'll suffer like anything. We have to understand that. If we're proud, we'll suffer. You know, so don't suffer. You know, Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he says, what is it? At last, now I no longer belong to myself. I have become supremely happy. So this realizing that we don't belong to ourselves, that we're not ours, that we're Krishna's, we should feel very happy. Because if you're Krishna's, if you belong to somebody in love, there's nothing better. Because if we serve Krishna in such a way that we want to please him, that he becomes ours in love. He wants to belong to us. It's his reciprocation. It's natural. The mother will surrender to the child's helplessness. But if that child, in its helplessness, in its progressive childhood, wants to do something for the mother, like even, you know, I can remember when my daughter, she made a cake. It was so sweet. Oh my goodness, so much sugar. But it was the best cake. It was a perfect cake. Because it was given in love. And so we don't look at these things. Krishna can only see what we utilize, what he's given us. That we haven't got anything to give because he's given us. Prabhupada says, we're living off borrowed feathers. Everything we have is Krishna's anyway. It's not us. It's his wonderful transformation of what he did with Prabhupada. He transformed Prabhupada. Why? Because he said, Krishna, I'm yours. Whatever you do, if you want me to speak, maybe I can speak in such a way that you can make me speak. That I can dance how you want to make me dance. This is the whole principle of just understanding our position, that actually Krishna is going to do everything for us in some way if we put ourselves in the position of service. That's the important thing. That somehow or other we connect ourselves with Krishna in service wherever we are. It's a matter of our consciousness. Whatever we do, it should be in this consciousness that it's an act of service, an act of worship. Whatever we do in this world, our jobs, our family relations, they're all acts of worship. They should be. And this way we connect our consciousness. Automatically, everyone will be pleased. So, or maybe they won't, but don't worry. If you're doing it inside for Krishna, if you become conscious of me, you will cross over all obstacles of material existence. And that means becoming conscious of him in all we do. That it's for his sake. So, one last prayer. And it's an amazing prayer. If I can find it. We're having so much conflict in this world. So much suffering. You know, wars, identification with religion, and somehow it's taken over. Now, this is an old book that I became very attached to. It's when I was interested in Sufism. But there is a wonderful prayer here. And it talks about humility. And it talks about service. With the Almighty, that were to insult His Majesty, that He but doubt in thought, the slave's request is held without excuse. Now, it's a sort, that's the old English. But what it means is that actually that our request to Him is held without excuse. That we are basically sort of little slaves. But then it says, mercy and wrath are worthy of the Lord. That mercy and anger are worthy of the Lord. But humility is worthy of the slave. Lordship is known by ever-growing strength. Nor should a God's act bring calamities. Mankind is honored when God compels. So the disasters that we see in this day and age, that we are subject to, even in our lives, this is God compelling. This is His special divine providence. He's trying to show us something. He's trying to bring humility. And then it says, for His destiny we may not choose. The slave hath nothing of himself alone. And he who questions him of good or ill, beneath a like subjection is suppressed. So we can say to the Lord, why am I suffering? You shouldn't be doing this. I'm your devotee. But no, by that very thought, you imprison yourself. You should say thank you. You should say yes. This is your mercy. This is what I'm due. Nothing happens. Everything comes from Krishna. We can't say it comes from that person. It's not that person. They're but instruments. We're all instruments of each other's karma, somehow or other. And then it says, by his own act, and is a slave by choice. Nor is this tyranny, but is just and wise. We should realize that we're servants. It's not an unjust thing. Only in this day and age, to be a servant is a terrible thing. Because when the slave has a good master, it becomes a loving relationship. We are the servants. It says here, it's not cruelty, but kindness to us. For this, that by their deeds his praise should set forth. We should, by our deeds, be an instrument of God. We should actually show how Krishna's acting. We, as Prabhupada did, he, by his example, showed how Krishna is acting. How power, if you surrender, it's not personal power. It's that which is directed through or somehow almost like a magician. That somehow people became attracted to Prabhupada. But this power comes from the Lord, that He's His servant, that somehow or other, all His disciples, they wanted to be His slave in love. Because he loved them. And this is how we should love Krishna. Because it is for our benefit. Who knows where our happiness comes from? Our happiness lies in giving. And somehow Krishna is trying to find a way of telling us that actually our real happiness lies in giving. So it then says that when meekness comes to thee, a gift from God, thou at a bound doth clear thyself from all surrounding trammels, and free from self thou stand. In other words, when we become humble, you become free. Free from the false ego. And then it says, the poor art rich, thy wealth is consigned to God. Go gain thy life, thy body leave to fate. Submit thy soul to the divine decree. So it says, forget your body. It's subject to the divine decree through this connection with the soul. You know, somehow we have to lose it. So don't worry about it. This whole verse here tonight talks, it tells us that it's inevitable. The soul must leave the body. So leave it to fate. Leave it to divine providence. It goes back to the earth. We get another body, whether spiritual or whatever. So it's a thing to remember that being a servant isn't such a bad thing. That actually it will bring us happiness. And this is what Prabhupada is trying to teach us in every moment of our lives, that we should be seeing this as an introduction of maybe some service is coming our way, and not forget that it may not be what you thought you wanted or what you see was coming, but it's come anyway. So I think we better finish there. Sorry, if it was a bit of an off-the-cuff thing. But thank you for your kind attendance. Announcement. His Holiness Dayananda Swami will be taking devotees door-to-door every day this week. Meet in reception at 5:30 p.m. Back to the manor at 8 p.m. Everyone is welcome. Dayananda Swami Maharaj ki jai. He's reminding us. Now this is service that nobody knew was going to happen. Isn't it? It's amazing. Any comments, questions? No? Okay. Srimad Bhavatam ki jai. Srirupam bhat ki jai. Nitai go premanam.